Thank you, councillors. It being the allotted time, I declare the meeting open at 6 p.m. And as we always do, we acknowledge the country we meet on today, the land of the Whadjuk Noongar people. Ngalak kardich winji ngalak nining, ngalak kardich nija bujabal noongar bujangalak nining. Attendance, apologies and leave of absences. We have an apology from Councillor Jeans this evening, who is being deputised by Councillor Amy Collins. Welcome, Amy. Sorry, Councillor Collins. Do we have any other apologies? No, we do not. Visitors in attendance, we have Deputy Councillor Johnson joining us in the gallery today. Item three, disclosure of interests. I've received two disclosures of interest thus far, one from staff member Angela Wollstonecroft, related to item 19.1 being interests affecting impartiality due to her reporting relationship to the CEO. And I've also got here a disclosure of interest from our CEO for item 19.1, being interests affecting impartiality and financial interests as the subject matter of the report directly applies to him. Do we have any other disclosures of interest that councillors wish to make at this time? No. Item four, announcements by the presiding member without discussion. Some of you may have noticed on your arrival today, the flags are now where we had all hoped and imagined that they would be, rather than tucked around the side. So thank you, CEO and staff, for rectifying that historical oversight. You may have seen on the news this evening as well that the town of Bassendean is preparing to roll out its FOGO bin collection system and was receiving considerable praise from the state government for doing so. And I've been advised by the CEO that the MRC is now ready to receive that FOGO waste and that staff have been trained today. So that is good. Yes, and staff have advised that they will be withdrawing item 14.3 for this evening's meeting for some further work. Item 14.3 relates to the review of the gratuity payments, so just make note of that, please. Item five, responses to previous public questions taken on notice. So we have Jane Bremer, who provided eight questions and responses have been provided and sent, as I understand it, to Ms. Bremer. There is a copy of the written responses here at the front desk, if anyone would like to avail themselves of them. Oh, it's in the agenda, yes. And there are some follow-up questions too that Ms. Bremer has sent through. The responses have been prepared and sent to her also, and there's a copy available here of those responses to the supplemental questions, should anyone wish to read them. Item six, public question time. There is no one from the public in attendance. Has anyone submitted any questions electronically?
No.
No. Which takes us to item seven, applications for leave of absence. Do we have any applications for leave of absence from councillors? Councillor Congerton.
6 to 8, thank you.
Of August. So minute taker, we've got Councillor Congerton asking for the 6th until the 8th of August inclusive. Anyone else? No. If I could then have a mover and a seconder to approve the application. So moved Councillor Powell. Seconded Councillor Hamilton. Is there anyone against? I declare that carried unanimously. Item 8, petitions, deputations and presentations. There's none that I'm aware of. Item 9, confirmation of minutes from a previous meeting. So we've got minutes from two meetings before us, one from the 18th of June for an ordinary council meeting and one from the 25th of June for a special meeting of council. I take it councillors have had an opportunity. If I could ask if anyone wishes to make any changes or corrections to those minutes. There being none, ask for a movement and a seconder to accept. So moved Councillor Congerton, seconded Councillor Dorr. Is there anyone against? I declare that carried unanimously. Yes, so that was for the 18th, and then separately and additionally for the minutes for the 25th of June, moved Councillor Congerton, seconded Councillor Hamilton. Is there anyone against? I declare that carried unanimously. Agenda item number 10, questions by members of which due notice has been given. No. So there was a question from Councillor Powell at the last meeting, and I understand a response has been provided to Councillor Powell. Were you satisfied with the answers? Yes. Okay. Item 11, questions by members without notice. So are there any questions councillors would like to ask at this time that are not specific to the reports of employees? And Councillor Wolfe, I saw there was an exchange of emails as well earlier in the week. Were you satisfied with the answers you got from those? Yep. Nothing further to follow up at this time? Okay. Agenda item 12, announcements of confidential matters for which the meeting may be closed to the public. So there's one confidential report item that will be covered under section 19, and that relates to item 14.1. Which is the Chief Executive Officer's Performance Review Committee minutes. Item 12, business not dealt with from a previous meeting. Nil. Item 13, reports of employees. So we've got now five. So reports of employees. So we've had one withdrawn, which is item 14.3, which leaves 14.1, 2, 4, 5 and 6, which I'll propose that we move en bloc unless there are any items that councillors would like withdrawn for discussion. Councillor O'Connor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to pull out the draft consultation papers, item 14.4.
Yes. Okay, and Councillor Wolfe?
Just a question. I don't really want to withdraw anything, if that's all right.
Yeah, please.
So this is just in the accounts for payment. In item 14.1, there's mention of a FOGO survey by Catalyze. Are you able to tell me, is that a survey to the community about their view of FOGO? Well, can you give us a bit of a detail about that?
Yes, Chief Project Officer, would you like to...
Sorry. Through the Chair, that was a survey that the MRC conducted. It was part of the licence application for the interim FOGO facility. So we surveyed the residents around Redhill to the east and the Barbridge Estate of North, and the results were fed back to De Wer.
All right. Are there any other questions on officers' reports at this stage? No. Okay, so we've got item 14.3 withdrawn. And we have Councillor O'Connor has withdrawn for further discussion item 14.4, which then leaves 14.1, 14.2, 14.5 and 14.6. If councillors are happy, could I have a mover and a seconder to adopt the recommendations in those reports en bloc? So moved Councillor Congerton, seconded Councillor Zanino. Is there anyone against? There being no one against, I declare that carried unanimously. Okay, which then takes us to item 14.4. So before we open this up, I'd just like to draw councillors' attention to the two documents before you. These documents here, which have been circulated and include track changes that have been proposed by Councillor O'Connor, which I imagine Councillor O'Connor will wish to move an amendment to in regard to. So I'll just give councillors time to have a read through those documents now and familiarise yourself with the changes.
Mr. Chair, some yes. of the changes are in red and some of the changes are in blue. So are all the red colours additional new information, or is some of it crossed out information, staff advice, or what?
CEO, would you like to talk to the changes and the production of these documents?
Thank you for the question, through the Chair. We received an email from Councillor O'Connor with some comments, and we updated the documents, and that's highlighted in red. And then there was an exchange, and we had a phone call, and then was a further update by Councillor O'Connor, and that is highlighted in blue.
All right, so the red changes were from the initial discussion and the blue changes were supplementary to that. It's customary that officers, when given enough time, provide an officer comment on those changes. Would you like to reflect the staff's view on the desirability of these proposed changes?
So we didn't have time to write a report because I think the email came in 11:45 last night. But we discussed it and we exchanged the thoughts, and the officers are happy with the changes that were proposed.
Could you summarise, in essence, the critical changes that are made here? Because I don't think at this late hour we've got enough time to really absorb.
Well, I guess, and in part, I'd like to preserve Councillor O'Connor's opportunity to do that if they're his pages, but if changes, but if you'd like to ask sort of specific questions of the officers' views on what's being proposed, I'm happy to allow it. Sorry, Councillor Congerton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would it be possible to suspend standing orders then so we can have a free discussion around the room with officers and councillors?
Yes, happy to do that. Suspension of so much of the standing orders as is necessary to allow an open discussion. Moved, Councillor Congerton. Seconded, Councillor Powell. Is there anyone against?
Thank you.
Declare that carried unanimously. Councillor O'Connor, would you like to talk councillors through then what it is that you've got in mind and your rationale for it?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. councillors, no doubt that you've read both submissions. The changes are quite minimal, but what they do is clarify the position representing some member councils, and I guess specifically the waste-to-energy aspect is probably the biggest one that needed a bit of clarification in terms of the waste levy and philosophy about how pricing should be structured and how the member councils who choose for the current, in my opinion, best practice option, which is a three bin with energy recovery system, should in essence get some sort of reward. My initial feeling was that there should be no levy on the waste stream that goes to waste to energy, but I understand that that's probably not going to happen, so I accept that if there was a levy applied, it should be a discount to encourage people to move up the waste hierarchy ladder from disposal, treatment, recovery of energy, and so on after that. So I just wanted to put a bit of context about how that affected those member councils and kind of put those my personal point of view forward. I do have a couple of little changes, but I probably just want to... Happy to answer questions.
Mm.
I think it's probably the best
okay.
way.
Okay, so Councillor Wolfe, have you got questions you'd like to ask?
Yeah, I'm just wondering on... So this is the...
I'm sorry, you need to press the right button.
Yeah, Councillor Dorr, can you switch off?
Ah, yes, sorry.
Sorry, so this is the waste levy one. Just on the last page, the second... Sorry, the first red thing there, you've got the waste levy should be charged at all waste management facilities, including waste transfer stations. So I'm just wondering, does that happen now? And if not, why would you want it on waste transfer stations?
Well, in terms of the colours of the additions, the red actually was came from the staff. So, but I'm guessing that the staff tried to interpret some of my comments and to include them. I can't remember if I put that in, Mr. CEO, if I put that. Because I understand that waste transfer stations ultimately pay the levy anyway when they eventually take their residual waste over the weighbridge. So I don't think that's meant to double up in that regard.
Sorry, CEO, did you want to add some clarifying points to that?
Now, what this means, this is not about actually charging the levy and to what waste streams. This is where it's charged. Is it only charged at the landfill, or is it also charged at when it goes to a transfer station? Because we're going to get different dynamics in the market, and I'm not talking about transfer station to waste to energy only. It could be a transfer station to a landfill. So the levy should be charged at that transfer station, and it should be like the GST, material in, material out. It should also be charged at recycling facilities. If the material is recycled, there's then a discount on the material that is recycled. So it travels with the material, and it's not just charged at the end point.
Right, but does that mean that it would be charged multiple times on a single waste stream,
no,
or just at the point of receival? I think is that the question you're getting at?
I understand.
Yeah. Okay.
So just following on from that, is that going to create an administration burden, as opposed to just having a weighbridge at landfill sites where the residual waste will end up anyway?
No, it will create an incentive for transfer stations to pull recyclables out and put less into the landfill because they got the $70 levy already. So it's just to make sure the market starts and recycling and recovering material at the first point of disposal, not just get 100% into the transfer station and then 100% into the landfill. So this is common practice interstate and internationally.
Councillor Clark.
Yes, I just wanted to ask, so just to clarify, so the red comments are actually drafted by the staff as a result of discussions? Can I just clarify?
So there's two things happened. So Councillor O'Connor, 90% of the comments are Councillor O'Connor's comments, mm-hmm. but we also put in comments from the City of Belmont. They had comments in the closing the loop, so we added them as well. And they're just clarifications. They're not significant changes.
My second question was on page 4 of the waste levy paper. There's $140 per tonne chosen. I'm just conscious, what thinking went into how we, is that just compared to over east, or is that?
So this is actually, there is, and it should have been taken out in brackets, it still says the line below. The increased amount of the levy to be determined by council, so by us. This was a request by the department to give an indication on what we would think as the EMRC and the member councils, so what should it be. And interstate, the levies are now up to between $120 and $155. So what it says is that we propose to increase it by $70, but a gradual incremental increase over the next 10 years.
Right, and so just for clarity's sake, what was the last escalation that was put in by the previous state government before the current state government froze it?
The previous state government did is the inert levy was at $12 in 2013, and the progressable levy, so municipal solid waste levy, was at $32. And the decision was made to go to one levy at $70 per tonne for inert and for progressable waste. And there was a five-year program to get to $70. So there were two trajectories for both. This current government has now frozen this for the last 2 years. And following, obviously, this consultation paper, they'll review what the next trajectory is.
But isn't that just going to add to the costs of ratepayers? They've already collected $111 million, it says in the upper part of that page, over since 1998. Isn't this just going to add to the costs of our ratepayers and residents?
It only adds to the cost if it goes to a disposal facility where the levy applies to. If it's recovered, it doesn't apply. So I think that's the stick.
Mr. Chairman, if I just... around the $140 per tonne point, now that while we're on it, I propose that where it talks about an increase $240 per tonne and so on, it should read something along the lines of incremental increases $240 per tonne from the current WA landfill of $70 per tonne over a 10-year period should be inserted or something along those lines.
Yes. I understand.
Could you say that again?
Sorry. So you can see the sentence where it says an increase $240 per tonne and so on. I'm saying it should read incremental increases to $140 per tonne from the current WA landfill levy of $70 per tonne over a 10-year period would help achieve this alignment, and delete the bracketed section.
Right, so full stop after alignment, and then the next sentence, there needs to be a 10-year schedule. Okay.
Would remain. It just spells it out, makes it more clear, because some people could read that it goes from 70 or 240 in 1 year.
That's run by council. We've missed out the increase amount of the levy to be determined by council.
Sorry, I understood Councillor O'Connor to ask for those words to also be deleted. Okay.
Mr. CEO, you have an intimate knowledge with the Minister and the Government on all of this stuff. Is this where the Government's heading anyway, to this sort of approximately 10-year period? They're going to increase it to this. Is this sort of where it's heading, in your view, anyway?
To be honest, I don't know, and there might be another government after this one and it might be changed again, so I think it's hard to pick. But definitely it will increase, and looking at interstate trends, $140 is kind of the number. If you want my personal opinion, I think that's the way this government is heading.
And I think also... that what's being proposed here is that it would be $140 a tonne in 10 years' time rather than the $155 a tonne which it currently is in other states. Councillor Johnson?
Yeah, I've got a question about the bottom of page 7 of the Waste Levy 1. So it's a line that's been deleted that says, and imposing a levy on energy recovery is one of the options to help reach these targets. I'm actually wondering if, I'm not sure where we're going this, I'm wondering if that sentence should be reinstated, because otherwise it doesn't make sense with the flow on to the rest of it.
I would accept that. This is a working document, there's a few iterations went back and forward. My initial position was to say no levy, but I would probably reinstate that sentence, but include a discounted levy on energy recovery to reward processes that don't go to landfill.
So perhaps if the wording said and imposed a reduced levy on energy recovery as one of the options? Okay, so we've got two sets of changes to the waste levy paper at this stage. Are there any further changes or amendments councillors would like to discuss for that paper before we move on to the other one? Councillor Congerton?
I don't wish to make any changes, Mr. Chairman, but are the staff comfortable now with those changes?
Mr. CEO?
Yes, we are. Thank you.
Okay, then I propose that we move the discussion on to the closing the loop document. If you're okay with that, Councillor O'Connor? All right, so we have the insertion of a paragraph on page 3. The insertion of another paragraph on page 9 and again on page 12 and 13. So I propose we deal with those sequentially. So it's the paragraph there on page 3. Either Councillor O'Connor or the CEO, if you'd like to discuss that.
This insertion just talks about the ability for the state government to incentivise improvement in the recycling industry and reduce barriers to the use of end product from recycling processes. So putting it back on them to say, well, remove the red tape, remove the barriers, let's use the materials, and then the market will open up. Mm-hmm.
Any questions or discussion about that paragraph? No. Okay. Moving on then to page 9. Right. So the CEO's just advised me that the inserted paragraph on page 9 was submitted by the City of Belmont, not Councillor O'Connor. Okay, any discussion or questions about that? It seems fairly straightforward to me. Moving on then to pages 12 and 13. Now, reasonable people can agree to disagree about the first sentence in that. I'm sure the ratepayers of Bassendean would have a view that that was not the case. However, we are a council of the Eastern Metropolitan Region, and a majority of our councils have chosen to go down the Skyfield path. Councillor O'Connor, are you happy that the blue amendments there reflect your intention?
Yeah, they were my last edits.
Yeah.
So the purpose of this paragraph is to say if in the event there's a waste levy applied, it should be discounted in a way that recognises the investment and the intent to move up the waste hierarchy away from landfill, and incentives to the risk with waste to energy is obviously if source separation isn't carried out, then it doesn't achieve the purpose of what we're trying to achieve. So there should be incentives for achieving high targets of source separation.
Thank you, Councillor O'Connor. Any further questions or comments about that from other councillors? Councillor Hamilton.
Can I just ask, because the bottom line refers specifically to the waste levy applied to waste to energy waste stream, in the paragraph above that, which is in red, which is your changes, you could potentially leave that at the recycling and FOGO, delete the waste and waste to energy, because you're dealing with waste to energy in the last sentence anyway on that page. In other words, what I'm saying is you're recognising the councils that are doing recycling and FOGO, but you're also recognising the councils in the last paragraph, the last sentence, that are doing waste to energy.
Councillor Hamilton, is it the current best practice wording that...
Okay, page 12, we've got the red paragraph where you've got councils that use a three-bin curbside system, in brackets, recycling FOGO and waste to energy in WA, are demonstrating current best practice. Because FOGO and recycling are higher up the hierarchy, you could potentially delete and waste to energy out of that paragraph, because in the next sentence, the next bottom sentence, you're dealing with waste to energy separately anyway, asking for a discounted levy.
Yeah, I think the intent, I know my intent was to say and include the word to say that, you know, in 10 or 15 or even 20 years, we hope to probably move away from waste to energy and move into something else, something better and higher up the hierarchy. But my opinion was that this is the current best practice. So I think that model, the three curbside bins with those three elements in today's market, in WA, is identified as the best practice. So I would prefer to keep that, leave that in, but if it's going to be contentious, happy to remove it, but my preference was to leave it as it is.
And I just think too, Councillor Hamilton, I draw your attention to the wording of the question above it, and I understand the point you're making, Councillor Hamilton, but the wording of the question above is talking about proposed exemptions, and so I think it's dealt with adequately further on, in my opinion. Yeah. Okay, which takes us to the last of the changes. So I guess procedurally we could deal with this as, Councillor O'Connor, are you going to move an amendment to the officer recommendation? Sorry. Indeed we do, yes. So moved, Councillor Congerton. Seconded, Councillor Boyd. All those in favour? Those against? That's carried unanimously. We are now back under standing orders. The item that we have before us and the officer recommendation at 14.4, is there a mover? Councillor O'Connor.
Did you want to get a second to it?
Yeah, I think for the benefit of our minutes clerks, would you like to propose that you're moving it as amended?
I would like to move the motion with the amended attachments that we've discussed.
Okay. And for the record, the amended attachments as circulated, with two further changes being made to the waste levy consultation paper. Those further changes from the circulated documents being on page 4, which is to reword the first paragraph in answer to question 2 at the third sentence. So instead of reading an increase to $140 per tonne, it would read instead as an incremental increase to $140 a tonne from the current landfill levy rate of $70 a tonne would help achieve this alignment, full stop, and the words after alignment in the parentheses to be deleted.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. Just one small addition was over a 10-year period. Was
yes.
To after the word $70 per tonne.
Yes. So an incremental increase to $140 per tonne from the current landfill levy of $70 per tonne over a 10-year period would help achieve this alignment, full stop. Okay. And the second variation to the circulated document being on page 7. Which, as I understood it, please correct me if I'm wrong, which is further. So in answer to question 2 on page 7, first sentence of the third paragraph, to read instead, further, the MRC is also acutely aware of the need to work towards achieving the state's waste strategy 2030 targets. And then to re-include the deleted words and impose a reduced levy on energy recovery as one of the options to help reach those targets. Is that?
Yep, that's correct. Thank you.
Okay. Right, so we have a motion moved by Councillor O'Connor, which is to adopt the amended consultation papers. Is that seconded? Seconded, Councillor Congerton. Is there anyone who wishes to speak against this? There being no one who wishes to speak against this, I'll now put that motion. All those in favour? Those against? That's carried unanimously. Which takes us to the end of the 14 items.
Through the chair.
Yes, Councillor Collins.
I actually just had a question just from reading these. I don't know if I've missed it, but there's discussion about a levy for waste to energy. Has there been any number touted as yet for a waste to energy levy?
Not that I have seen published. I've heard rumours, but nothing more, CEO.
Okay.
No. And the rumours that I've heard are various, that would be either in line with the waste levy that applies to landfill or at a discounted rate, as we have now recommended the state government do. Yep. We shall wait and see. Item 15, reports of committees. So we have right, so we've got the Chief Executive Officer Performance Review Committee that was held on the 25th of June. The report is to be dealt with under Section 19, but there's an opportunity now for councillors to ask any questions about the report that do not pertain to the confidential items. Any councillors who were not at the meeting who wish to ask questions? No. Okay. Moving on to item 16, reports from delegates.
Mr. Chairman, this motion is to note the minutes, so I'm happy to move that.
Yes, thank you. Councillor O'Connor has moved the recommendation to note the minutes. That is seconded by Councillor Congerton. Anyone against? There being no one against, I declare that carried unanimously. Now, item 16, reports of delegates. I've received no written reports. Are there any meetings that delegates have attended in recent times? Any councillors wish to give a report about? Councillor Johnson.
I sent out today the minutes of the last, MWAC meeting. So with apologies, that was late in the piece. I've had lots of to and fro with them about whether they're confidential or not. I've only recently been told that I'm able to circulate those.
Okay, so councillors then will have received the written report from Councillor Johnson representing us in the other place. Item 17, members' motions of which previous motion notice has been given. There are none. Item 18, new business of an urgent nature approved by the chairman. There is none that I'm aware of. Does anyone wish to raise any urgent business? No. Item 19. Right, so the confidential matters for which the meeting may be closed to the public. So may I please have a mover and a seconder for the recommendation that the meeting be closed to members of the public. So moved, Councillor Wolfe. Seconded, Councillor Hamilton. Is there anyone against? There being no one against, I declare that carried unanimously. Could you please end the recording? Okay, are we back recording? We are, okay. So we've come back from behind closed doors. We have passed a resolution. I'm now required to read that resolution out. The resolution was that one, council assesses the Chief Executive Officer's performance for the period 2019-2020. Two, that council adopts the performance criteria as amended within the report for 2020-2021. Three, that council notes the Chief Executive Officer has voluntarily elected to maintain his current salary. Four, that the council authorises the Chairman of the MRC to vary the CEO's employment agreement to A, incorporate the association membership fees as outlined within Schedule 2 of the agreement into the CEO's base salary. And point five, the report and attachments remain confidential and to be certified by the chairman and the CEO. Which then brings us to item number 20, future meetings of council as outlined there. Please make note of them in your diary. And item 21, declaration of the closure of the meeting. I declare the meeting closed at 7:04 p.m.